Psalm 120. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides you, deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom brush. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Cedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Heavenly Father, we ask that as we come to your word this morning, you would open our eyes to see the amazing care you have for us, that we'd be able to say once more, great is thy faithfulness. Help us to see that you are with us on the journey, every step, every valley, every dark night. We pray you'd give us confidence in that. Help me to speak what you want me to speak. Help us to hear what you want us to hear. And would you be glorified as we meditate on scripture together now. Amen. Great. Well, I wonder, when you're in distress and you feel far from God, where do you look? When you're in distress and you feel far from God, where do you look? Psalm 121 is a famous psalm, isn't it? You might know the first verse. I lift my eyes to the mountains. And because of that, this psalm has a reputation for being peaceful, scenic. Have it on your fridge with a nice mountain behind it. I mean, the mountains are there, God is there, and everything has that golden late afternoon feeling to it. I want to suggest to you this morning that unless we feel where this psalm is coming from, we actually miss what it says. Because the mountains are not the answer. The mountains are the question. And to understand the question, we need to go back one psalm before. We need to start in Psalm 120, because these psalms all go together. And Psalm 120 tells us something really important about the person who speaks in Psalm 121. You'll see the superscription, that's the fancy term for the italic bit, a song of ascents, that's part of the Bible, that is part of the actual text. And that helps us to see that all of these, you can see them from 120 all the way through to 134. That is correct, isn't it? Yes, 134 are part of that. And they're written for the great return after exile. See, in Israel's history, going into Babylon, the disaster there, this is for God's people coming back home. The journey back to Zion, the journey back to God's presence. The very final word of the Old Testament in the book of Chronicles is, let him go up. Let him ascend. Let the exiles go home. That is the spirit of these psalms. So the songs of ascent begin, and they begin in Psalm 120. Have a look down at it. With a man who's about as far from home as you can get. Have a look down at verse 5 of Psalm 120. Woe to me that I live in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Any ideas where those places are? Well, Sam loves a map, so this is for Sam, who's not in the room. The only map I could find of these two places on is this one here, so I've tried to make it as clear as possible. You may have never heard of these places. Meshech is in modern-day Turkey, right there, top left corner. Kedar is in Arab territory. Can you see they're in completely opposite sides of the ancient world? Can you see that? Because the point is, this man is far from home. And he's calling out to the Lord in his distress, as he says in verse 1. But he has no peace, no resolution. He's just distant from God and his people. And he hears the sound of people who want nothing to do with what he believes. So he says, verse 5, woe is me. That there is a man who is lying awake at night, wondering whether God can reach him out there. But then something changes. Somewhere between Psalm 120 and Psalm 121, this man gets up, he leaves Meshech, and he starts the journey home. The great return has begun. He's on the road to Zion. And that is where Psalm 121 picks up. On the road, moving. And as he walks, he looks up and he sees the mountains ahead of him. And out comes the question that's been building since Psalm 120. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Don't rush past that question. That there is not the question of a man on a peaceful Sunday afternoon walk. That is the question of someone who's been in Meshech, who's felt far from God for a long time, who's been praying and not feeling peace, who started the journey home and isn't sure he's going to make it. It's the question we're thinking about this morning. When you're in distress and you feel far from God, where do you look? Because the Bible describes the Christian life as a journey. We've seen it in Isaiah. We've seen it in Acts. Do you remember the way, the journey, the highway, the path? This journey here, being described here, is actually the journey we're on too. And as we journey together, all sorts of things threaten to trip us up, to cause us to take our eyes off God and panic. The diagnosis where you don't know how to pray anymore. The relationship that's barely hanging by a thread. The financial pressure that's not going to lift. The anxiety that spikes at 2 a.m. and will not be reasoned with. When you're on the road, when you're heading in the right direction, but you're looking at the mountains, you're looking at everything around you, and you're wondering, is there any help for me on this journey? Psalm 121 says, yes, there is. And it gives us the answer in three moves. So, when you're in distress and you feel far from God, where do you look? Here's the answer, Psalm 121. Look to the Creator who does not sleep and watches over you all the way home. So we can say, almost home, praise the Lord, we're almost home. Let's have a look at point one. First part of the answer, look to the Creator. If you're a note taker this morning, that's point one. Look to the Creator, verses 1 and 2. Here's the question again. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Mountains. They're awesome looking, aren't they, mountains? They tower over the horizon, the road less travelled, the hiding place of all sorts of things. What will the mountains bring? Mountains are clever, aren't they? Because all they do is they're just there and they take up the horizon. Everything that's visible is the mountain. Everywhere where you could scan potentially for help is the mountain. And when we're anxious, when the situation feels beyond us and we're running out of ideas, that is exactly what we do, isn't it? We look across, we scan the horizon. Just be honest with yourself for a moment. When you're really struggling, when the problem doesn't shift and your prayers feel like they're bouncing off the ceiling, where do you actually look? I mean, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're sitting here this morning and you've been carrying something all week. And you've been looking everywhere except up. I mean, some of us, we look inward, don't we? I just need to try a bit harder. Think more positively. Get myself together. Be a bit stronger. There's a phrase that a lot of people assume is in the Bible. It was actually from Benjamin Franklin. He said, God helps those who help themselves. I understand why that sounds plausible. It has a certain ring to it, doesn't it? But it's precisely the opposite of what Psalm 121 says. Because God helps those who help themselves is just a spiritual, glossy way of saying, trust yourself. It says, get yourself sorted and then just add God on for an extra boost. Pull yourself up. I've got some bootstraps now. It's quite nice to pull out your bootstraps. God is going to steady the ladder for you. You just do it yourself. The initiative is yours. God is the assistant. Or, rather than looking at ourselves, we tend to look at each other. If I can just get that person to understand, if only they would help, if she would change, if he would step up, if someone would come through for me. The mountains are out there. And they're all silent. So the question hangs there, doesn't it, with its full weight. From where does my help come from? It doesn't come from in here because the tank is empty. It doesn't come from out there because they're finite. It doesn't come from anything on the horizon. From where? Just let that question hang for a moment, because every false answer now has been ruled out. And that's exactly where verse 2 comes in. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. There it is. There's the answer. Not from the mountains, not from inward resources, not from a cross, but from the Lord. And notice what the psalmist says about him. It's not just the Lord. It's not just the covenant God, the promise maker, though he is all of that. It is that he is the maker of heaven and earth. Heaven and earth, all of it, everything, the whole of created reality, visible and invisible, the creator, the one who made the mountains and the road and you. Now, why does that matter? Let me try and put it like this. Do you remember the long car journeys with your parents? You had no idea where you were going or how long it would take to get there or what happened when you ran out of petrol. You had no map, you had no sense of the route, you had no idea what the plan was if things went wrong. But were you worried? No. Because you knew who was up front. And you knew on some basic level that they had the situation covered. They knew the route, or at least they looked like they do. They knew where the services were. And so if you were like me, you settled down in the back seat and you fell asleep. That is what the Creator offers you. Not that you need to understand the route, not that you need to see how it's all going to work out, but that the one who made the road and the fuel and you is in the front seat. He has resources that you can't see from the back seat. He has options that you can't even have imagined. Where you see a dead end, the maker of the heaven and earth sees 10,000 possible routes. Because the creator can do anything. And that there calms this psalmist down. He looked across, the mountain said nothing. He looked up and he found the Lord, the creator of all things. My help. He sorted. So can you say that this morning? Not as a formula, but as a reality. Look up, not across, to the one who made it all. I mean, that's great in itself, isn't it? We can just shut the Bible there and say, brilliant, the creator. But he doesn't finish there, does he? Point number 2. Look to the creator who does not sleep. Now, I want you to notice something really key that changes in this psalm here. Have a look really closely at the text. In verses 1 and 2, the psalmist is talking about himself. Do you see that? Myself. I lift my eyes. The psalmist sorts his thinking out first. He finds his own anchor. And then verse 3, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Your foot, you. Do you notice the pronouns have shifted? The psalmist is no longer speaking about himself. Instead, he's turned to the person next to him and he says to that person, the Lord watches over you. Let me tell you what I know. We're going to come back to what that means for Christchurch Hemel in a moment. But first, what does he say? Verse 3. He will not let your foot slip. Now that is greater reassurance than just you're not going to have a trip. In fact, this is language from a chapter of Deuteronomy that might be famous. Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses' great final song to Israel. And in Deuteronomy 32, he says to rebellious Israel, in due time, their foot will slip. Their day of disaster is near and their doom rushes upon them. That there is judgment language. Walk away from God, try and make the journey in your own strength, refuse to look up and your foot will slip. You will not make it. But here, on the other side of exile, Psalm 121, the language is turned upside down. God is not letting your foot slip. God is holding you steady. What the law warned would happen to those who walked away is precisely what God prevents happening to those who look to him. And then verse 4. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now that word, watches, it appears 6 times in this psalm, 6 times in 8 verses. I'm going to point them out as we go because I want you to feel the weight of the repetition. The psalmist here is not making a passing comment. He's instead hammering the nail. But first of all, neither slumber nor sleep. Think about what that means for you. When you close your eyes tonight, when you let your guard down, God's guard is still up. There is not one single second when you slip from his sight. Now, this line would have stopped the ancient world cold. Because in the ancient Near East, the great catastrophe was a sleeping god. Baal, the storm god of the nations around Israel, was understood to sleep. That's what summer is in their minds. Every summer, when the rain stops, the explanation was simple. Baal has gone for his sleep. And while he sleeps, you're on your own. You might remember the weekend away we had last year. This comes into play here. You see, remember Elijah. He's quite big in these 2 psalms. But Elijah on Mount Carmel, he is mocking the prophets of Baal, isn't he? As they cry out to their gods and nothing happens. And he says, shout louder. Maybe he's sleeping and needs to be awakened. And into that world, Psalm 121 drops this line, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. See, this is not background noise. That there is a declaration. The God of Israel knows and does what no other God in the entire world was believed to do. I need to tell you when this became real to me. See, a few years ago, I was going through a period of real anxiety. I won't go into all the details, but I felt completely out of control in the situation. And my natural response was to keep trying to watch over everything. Scroll the news, see what's happening next. Plan A, plan B, plan C. I was lying awake, running through plan D. I could not sleep, not because I was exhausted, but because some part of me, however stupid it sounds, felt that if I just stopped watching, something was going to go wrong. And I could have prevented it if I'd only stayed awake. If you've been there, you know the feeling. The exhausted vigilance of trying to be your own keeper. And one night, lying there in the dark, I noticed what I was doing. I was looking inward. I was trusting my own vigilance, as if everything depended on me keeping watch. And it struck me just how absurd that is. How exhausting that is. And it's one of these things that you do, sounds really stupid to say, but I literally looked up at the ceiling in the dark, made sure Izzy was fast asleep, and said out loud, Creator, you've got this. You don't sleep. I can't watch everything, but you can. And then I fell asleep. And God kept me through that entire situation. He was watching the things that I didn't even know were threats. He was holding things steady that I hadn't thought to check on. He who watches over you will not slumber. Even when you can't watch, he is watching. Is there something you're watching obsessively right now? You are not your own keeper. The Lord watches over you. The Lord does not sleep. But how far does that keeping reach? Well, that is where the psalm goes next. Point 3. We've seen where to look. Look to the Creator who never sleeps. But how far does that go? Point number 3. He watches over you all the way home. Verses 5-8. Now, I said we trap the word watches as we go through. It's on the screen there. Let me do that now because the repetition is not an accident. Verse 3. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Verse 4. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Verse 7. The Lord will keep or watch you from all harm. He will watch over your life. Verse 8. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Six times in eight verses, the psalmist isn't just decorating a truth, he is insisting on this truth. He will not let you leave without it firmly lodged in your chest. And before we go further, let's not forget that pronoun shift. See, the psalmist fixes his eyes, and then he turns to the person beside him on the road. That's what we're for as a church, isn't it? We are not isolated individuals, each trying to keep ourselves going. We are a company of travellers on the same road. This journey, ours together, we're almost home. When you fixed your eyes, turn to someone else and say, "The Lord watches over you." And when you can't look up, you need someone else beside you who can say it to you. We need each other on this road. So what does it mean for the Lord to watch over you? Let the psalm tell us, verse 5. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord watches over you. That is in the present tense. Right now, this morning, this very second, onward and unbroken. Here's your shade at your right hand. Let me tell you why that detail matters. In the ancient world, if you were to carry your shield, you would carry it in your left hand. Your sword was in your right hand, which meant your left-hand side was protected whilst your right-hand side was exposed. Your right hand is where you struck and when you were most vulnerable. The shield covers one side, the other was open. What is God here? God is your shade at your right hand. He is standing on your unshielded side. He's not guarding the already protected parts of your life. He's not just covering the easy bits. He is standing exactly where you're most exposed, where you're most open, when you're most vulnerable. Whatever area of your life you feel least protected about right now, that is precisely where the Lord stands. Verse 6. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Day and night, every moment, round the clock, no office hours, no gap where the cover gets dark, morning, noon, midnight, 2 a.m. watches over you. This verse would have rung a particular bell for any Israelite who knows their scriptures. It's from Isaiah. It's the story about those coming out of exile to the new creation. This here is God's great promise about the return from exile, almost word for word. See what the psalmist is doing. He is speaking God's promises, God's word, back to himself on the road. He's saying the promise that Isaiah made about this new exodus, about the journey home, this is it. We are on that journey. The God who said he would do this is doing it. Every step you take is inside a promise spoken hundreds and hundreds of years ago, before the journey began. God doesn't just keep you for the moment. He keeps you according to his word. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. All harm, or more literally, it's the word all evil. Not just most evil, not just the manageable kind, but whatever threatens you, physical danger, spiritual attack, moral corruption, relational destruction, the Lord keeps you. And he will keep your life. He will keep your soul, your whole being, everything that makes you, you. Verse 8, the Lord will watch over your coming and going. See, the Lord is better than sting and the police. Every breath you take, every move you make, in a good way, he is watching over you. When you leave in the morning, he is watching. When you come back in the evening, he is watching. When you're on top of it and when you're barely holding on, he's watching it. And then the last word of the psalm, in English, words that seal everything, both now and forevermore. Not just for today, not just for this crisis, not until things have settled down. From this moment, this breath, this heartbeat, onwards into eternity. There is no expiry date on God's watching. You are not kept on a trial basis or conditionally until you mess up, both now and forevermore. Do you see what this psalm is saying? Do you feel what it's doing? Six times, watches. There is no moment he isn't watching, day and night. There is no threat he can't handle, all evil. There's no activity outside of his coverage, going in, out, and coming in. There is no end point from now and forevermore. There are no gaps in God's watching. Whatever you are facing right now is covered. Whenever you're facing it is covered. However long it goes on, it's covered. Wherever the road takes you, it's covered. Now, I'm not a mind reader, but I assume at least one person in this room is thinking, yeah, but I've experienced real pain, real loss, real suffering. If God keeps us like this, well, how do you explain that? It's a good question, isn't it? And the psalm is not naive about it. You see, God's keeping is not a promise that nothing hard ever happens. It is a promise that nothing that happens can separate you from him. It's a promise that you will make it home, that your foot will not ultimately slip, that the journey will not fail. How can I say that? How can I know that? Because of the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus is the true Israelite. Jesus is the one who made this journey perfectly, all the way from the far country to the Father. And in the wilderness, on the journey, when Satan tried to get him to doubt God's care, his foot did not slip. He looked up, he trusted his keeper, he kept going. And then on the cross, when it seemed like everything had broken, when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which is also from the Psalms. When it looked like the watcher had abandoned him, he was not abandoned. In fact, he was keeping us. He was absorbing everything that threatens us. Every evil, the psalm says, God keeps you from, he took it. Every judgment that we had coming, he received it. He walked through the darkest valley to secure the journey for those who follow him. And now, risen and reigning, he says these words, surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. See, that is what watching looks like. It's not that you're going to avoid all suffering, but that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are kept by the Creator through everything, all the way home. Brothers and sisters, do you believe that this morning? And who beside you right now on this road needs to hear it? Who in this room is feeling distant from God right now? Who is exhausted? Who is running on empty and needs someone to turn to them and say, the Lord watches over you. He does not sleep. He's got you. Just turn your eyes to the left and right. There is someone there who needs to hear that. And that is why church is so important. That is what we are here for. And so, lift up your eyes. Let me take you back to our man from Psalm 120. He left Meshech. He left the tents of Kedar. He got up and he started heading home. And as he walked, the question came, where does my help come from? The answer, the Creator, who does not sleep, who watches over you through everything, who stands on your unshielded side, who keeps his ancient promises with every step you take. And every move you make, stop quoting it now. And then that man takes it, what he's learnt, and he passes it to the man beside him. And he shares what he knows. He helps someone else to look up. And so they keep on walking, and they walk, and they walk to the new creation, to Zion, to the presence of God. The king has come, his people streaming home, the exile finally over, as the nations stream to Mount Zion. And one day we will get there too, as God's people in Hemel Hempstead. One day we will arrive. And when we do, we will look back over the entire journey. Every step on that road. Every dark night when we couldn't see what was coming. Every 2 a.m. when we lay awake with anxiety telling us God is not watching. Every situation that seems impossible. Every grief we thought would finish us. And we will see. We will see he was there. Every step, every valley, every dark night, he was watching us even when we couldn't. He was holding us even when we were exhausted to hold on. He was standing on our unshielded sides when we didn't even know we were exposed. From Meshech to the new creation, every single step he was watching, he was keeping us. And you'll be able to say your foot did not slip because the Creator does not sleep. But until that day, we're on the road. And right now, today in Hemel Hempstead, there are people beside you who need to hear that. People who've been praying without peace. People who are looking at the mountains and finding them silent. People who are exhausted from being their own keeper. So we're meant to be the ones who turn to them and say, after fixing our own eyes first, the Lord watches over you, brother, sister. Not as a cliche, as something we know, something we've anchored ourselves in, something we have found to be true for ourselves. So here's what I want us to do this week. When anxiety comes, and it will come, practice the posture of this psalm. Literally look up. Turn your face upward, and if you can, if you're in a place you can do this, say out loud, the Creator watches over me. He does not sleep. And train that reflex. And then find someone else this week, someone in your growth group, someone after church, someone even in the car park. You can still talk about the Bible in the car park. Maybe even via text message. Someone who is on the road, as we all are, and is struggling, turn to them and tell them what you know. Lift your eyes up. Look to the Lord. Together. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Psalm 121. We thank you that with our man from Meshech, we can say, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are the Creator, that you have resources that we cannot see, that you have options that we can't even imagine, that where we see a dead end, you see a thousand routes home. We thank you that you do not sleep, that there is not one single moment when we slip from your sight, that as we close our eyes, your eyes are open, that you watch over us constantly, unbroken, standing on our unshielded side. And Father, we thank you for the confidence we can have because the Lord Jesus walked that darkest valley first to secure the whole journey for us. That he keeps us in his hand and he will not let us go. So we ask that as we go into our weeks now, we would look up, not look across. And that we would turn to each other and keep each other looking up all the way home. Amen.